Welcome to the Fidelity Bank PLC H1 2018 results conference call. There will be a question and answer session at the end of the call. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Nnamdi Okonkwo. I'm the CEO. I welcome you to this H1 conference call. With me here, I have my full executive team on the conference call. I'll start with an update of our performance. Okay. The H1 2018 performance showed strong double-digit growth in deposits, earning assets, and net revenues, while cost growth was significantly below the inflation rate. For our PBT, it was 13 billion, as you already know. This was a remarkable growth of over 27% when compared with the same period last year. In absolute numbers, our PBT grew by over 2.8 billion. This was mainly driven by 4.5 billion naira growth in operating income, and this was higher than the 1.8 billion growth in our operating expenses, thus leading to income ratio of 67.7%. PBT improved by over 60% on quarterly basis from 5 billion in Q1 of 2018 to 8 billion in Q2. Again, this was driven by deposit growth, which translated to improved lending and transactional fee-based income. We also benefited from gains on longer-dated treasury bills purchased in 2017 as yields declined in 2018 financial year. Though our PBT was 8 billion for Q2, we would like to emphasize a point here that we expect this trend to moderate in Q3 and Q4, given the higher interest rate environment and expected slower growth in business. However, just to reassure you that we'll remain focused on achieving our guidance of 25 billion naira PBT for 2018. You would have noticed NIM. Our NIM, which remained within our guidance of 6.5%, with a decline in both yields and funding costs. Our average yield on earning assets stood at 14.4% when compared to an average funding cost of 6.6%. For loan impairments, declined by 46%, and cost of risk declined to 0.7% from 1.5% in 2017 due to the impairment charges of over 28 billion, which we passed through equity on IFRS adoption, and a combination of reduced impairment charges in telecoms and downstream sectors. NPL ratio improved to 6.1% from 6.4% due to growth in risk assets outpacing the growth in NPL volumes. We have maintained our 50% coverage ratio on Nine Mobile, pending when the sale process is totally concluded. We did inform you during the Q1 call, and each time we mention this, we like to reemphasize that if Nine Mobile was classified, our NPL ratio would move from 6.1% to about 8.4%. Just testing the worst-case scenario for information purposes. Otherwise, like I said, we've maintained the 50% coverage ratio there. We saw reduction in our absolute NPL numbers across some key sectors, which include energy, construction, and general commerce. Risk assets grew by 3.5% to 795 billion. However, gross loans grew by over 7%, but this growth was moderated by 28 billion increase in payments from implementation of IFRS 9. On deposits, it increased by 19.7% to 928 billion naira, an absolute growth of 153 billion in the last 6 months. We are happy with this because it shows improving market share for us. We recorded strong double-digit growth on all the deposit products, so it wasn't limited to one area. In the demand, savings, times, we recorded double-digit growth while lowering funding costs over the same period. Retail banking continues to do very well. Our strategy delivered impressive results. Our savings deposits increased by 10.6% to close 198 billion naira. And now we're on track to achieving the fifth consecutive year of double-digit growth in savings. This is something we take very seriously, obviously, for the low-cost implications for us. But overall, low-cost deposits now account for 74% of our total deposits. Digital banking continues to gain traction, with almost 40% of our customers now enrolled on the mobile/internet banking products, and over 20% of our transactions are now done on our digital banking platforms, and which clearly shows or reflect on our staff cost strength. Other regulatory ratios remained above required thresholds. Capital adequacy ratio at 17% and liquidity ratio at 33.2%. Capital adequacy ratio of 17% is after taking a 40% haircut on our local currency bond and increased regulatory charge because of lower equity base as a result of IFRS 9. And what do I mean regulatory charge? We've said this repeatedly. We have one obligor where we exceeded the one obligor. We have one customer where we exceeded the one obligor limit on account of devaluation. So that we took a haircut on that based on decreased equity on account of implementation of IFRS 9. Our capital adequacy ratio would be 18.6% once we bring this single, this customer's exposure to single, to within the single obligor limit. So at that point, I'll stop now and hand over to Bola, my colleague, who will take us through detailed presentation of the financials. Welcome once more. Thank you. We'll take questions after Bola Hon's presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Nnamdi. I'll just go to slide 4, which just shows an overview of the bank. 3,016 staff, 4.2 million customers, about 40% of them on the mobile platform, 778 ATMs. We run out of 240 branches, 2 million cards, and about 4,500 POS machines. On slide 5, it just shows the growth in our customer trend, savings deposits, mobile and internet banking penetration, and number of debit card customers. As Nnamdi highlighted, about 40% of the customers are now enrolled on the mobile and internet banking platforms, and 80% of our transactions are now done on the digital banking channel. I'll go to slide 9, which just shows the key performance highlights. So interest income is up 2.5% to almost 73 billion. Cost-income ratio has remained around the same area, 67.7%, despite the double-digit inflation. Cost of risk is down to 0.7%, obviously due to the high impairment numbers we've had to take post-IFRS implementation through equity and then reduced provisioning in the telecoms and downstream sectors. NPL coverage ratio is about 113%. FCY loans are now 42% of the loan book. Capital adequacy is at 17%, and all other regulatory ratios are okay. If you go to slide 10, we just sort of explained the numbers. On a quarter-on-quarter basis, there was a 60% growth in PBT. A lot of it was driven by the growth in earning assets, obviously, which was fueled by the increased deposit base. We had explained that the strategy for this year was that we expected to have a lower yield environment, so we needed to expand our earning assets base to be able to earn the same fund-based income. OPEX growth was about 5.7%. Key lines that increased were technology, the regulatory charges, and NIM dropped to 6.5% on account of the lower yields on earning assets, but we're also pleased that we're able to bring funding costs down. Our total deposits, very strong growth at almost 20%. over 150 billion naira growth across all the products. For risk assets, 8% quarter-on-quarter growth. Net growth for the year was 3.5%. Gross loan book actually grew by over 7%, but because of the increased impairment, it dropped to 3.5% on a net growth. If you go to slide 11, it just shows H1 2017 versus H1 2018. Net growth of 27.3%, profit moving from 10.2 billion to 13 billion. Slide 12 just shows the quarter on quarter movement from a profit perspective, and then you see the fee-based income increasing by about 9.7 billion, leading to a 6.6 billion growth in operating income. So though expenses grew by almost 16% quarter on quarter, and impairment charges were higher by 1.2 billion, profitability was still up 3 billion on a quarter-on-quarter basis. Slide 13 just shows the balance sheet position, and then you see very strong growth, double-digit growth across each of the deposit lines. Also, you look at the cash reserve, it's moved from 181 to 224 billion, and then the cash numbers are down from 27 billion to 25 billion, even though the deposit numbers are up on account of increased traction on digital banking. Slide 16 just shows a breakdown of gross earnings, and you see interest income on liquid assets up almost 26% year-on-year despite the lower yield environment because of the increase in the earning assets base, and that account maintenance fees up 21% and other incomes about 36%. If you go to slide 17, which shows the net interest margin trend, it's dropped from an average of about 7% over to about 6.5%, basically due to about a 1% drop in the average yield on earning assets. But we're also pleased that we're bringing down the funding cost. It's below 7%, it's 6.6%. For OPEX on slide 18, even though there's a growth, it's total of 5.7%, significantly below the double-digit growth of on the inflation rate. And when you look at slide 19, which shows the trend, what you see is that if you take last year OPEX and divide it by two and compare it with what we've done for H1 this year, we're still well on track in terms of keeping costs under check. If you go to slide 21, which is an analysis of the funding base, apart from debt, securities, and equities, you see a growth in most of the lines. The decline you see in debt securities is because of the balance of the Eurobond repaid in May. Slide 22 just shows the deposit trend. It's been about 700 billion over the past few years. By Q1, it hit about 860 billion, and now we're over 900 billion, about 928 billion, with low-cost deposits at 74% of total deposits. Slide 23 is just an analysis from our retail banking perspective. Savings deposits have moved from 178 billion end of 2017 to 188 billion Q1 and now 197.5 billion. By the end of this quarter, we believe we shall have crossed the 200 billion mark in savings. So retail deposits now account for about 41% of total low-cost deposits. And then from a retail assets perspective, you can see increased lending. It's been going down, but now we've deployed some of our digital lending products, and then we've started seeing some increased traction. Slide 24 looks at liquid asset position, and so about 9% of our liquid assets are in treasury bills, and about another 9% are in bonds. From a maturity profile perspective, we don't have a lot of maturities going down by the end of this quarter, and that was why when Namdi was speaking, he said, we expect to have some level of moderation in terms of the profit run rate for Q3 and Q4, but in terms of achieving the full-year numbers of 25 billion, we'll still be on track. For slide 25, which shows a breakdown of the loan book, key segments are grew, manufacturing, general commerce, and we had always spoken about driving growth from the FMCG and manufacturing space for this year, and also the transport segment. And slide 26 just shows 4 quarters trend of the loan book. Slide 27 is just an explanation of the key indices you need to look out for in the loan book. So at the end of the financial year, it was about 769 billion. It's now 795 billion, like I said. Net growth of 3.5%, but gross loan growth of over 7%. The key sectors that are driving growth, manufacturing, general commerce, transport, and then some bits of the public sector. And then foreign currency loans are down 42% from 46% because we've had higher growth in the local currency loan book. Slide 28 just shows a breakdown of the NPL. On an absolute basis, it's up 1 billion. That's a 2% growth. We saw declines in the oil and gas, especially the downstream segment, the general commerce segment, and the construction segment. And then there was some growth in the transport segment. The key NPL pressure points have not changed. It's still the oil and gas downstream, the transport, general commerce, and the manufacturing segment. I think the key thing for us is that we're seeing a steady decline in the NPL numbers from 6.4% at the end of 2017 to 6.3% in Q1 and now 6.1%. But suffice to say that the decline in the NPL ratio is driven more from the growth in the absolute growth in the loan book. Slide 31 speaks to capital adequacy. So CAR has improved from 16% at the end of the financial year to 17% in H1. A lot of that is driven by the 10 billion accretion to Tier 1 capital after the capitalization of the H1 profit. You can see an increase in the regulatory adjustment because the shareholders' funds declined post IFRS 9 implementation, which led to a lower single obligor limit. And so when you net it up against the FCY loan, the charge was higher. But overall, if we did not have that regulatory charge, capital adequacy would have been 18.6%. It's at 17%, and we've already taken a 40% haircut on our Tier 2 capital in arriving at this 17%. Slide 32 just shows the contribution from our business unit. About 60% of the loan book is in the corporate segment. About 47% of the revenues come from there, and about 53% of the revenues come from the other parts of the business. However, from a funding perspective, the other areas of the business contribute about 87% of the deposit book. Slide 34 is looking at our guidance on the 9 guidance indices. We're on track on 8 of them. The only one we're behind target is on loan growth, which is 3.5% versus a guidance of 7.5% to 10% for the financial year. But if you extrapolated this over a year, it will be a growth of 7%. So we believe we're on track. Thank you, and we will now take questions.
Thank you very much. We will now open the lines for questions. To ask a question, please press 0 on your phone's keypad or 7 to cancel your question request. Once again, to ask a question, please press 0 or 7 to cancel your request. Thank you. Your first question is from Emmanuel Adeleke from ARM Securities. Please go ahead.
All right. Good afternoon. Thanks for the conference call. I have quite a number of questions. So the first one, where is the credit-related fee coming from? And I want to know how sustainable is it, too. So what are you doing to the faster growth in time deposits? So I observe the CASA ratio has declined for the second consecutive quarter now. The third question, what was driving the decline in the interest from customer loans, despite our loan book expanding year-to-date? The fourth question is, okay, so I would like to clarify a figure I saw on your payment breakdowns. There's a negative amount of about 3.3 billion naira on the three payment charge. So is this a write-back or what? And if it's a write-back, what sectors are they from? And also, there's a new classification of interest income on your financial assets. So can you please just shed a light on this? And also, I don't know if you have any plans to raise some equity capital or bond. I think that'll be all for now. Thanks.
Thank you. I'll start from the last. Plans to raise equity, no. Capital adequacy is 17%. We had spoken about that during our Q1 conference call when capital was 16%, that based on the earnings capacity of the business and our dividend payout policy, We believe that the profits we capitalize every year will be sufficient for the asset growth projection. So no plans for that. Let me now go back to the other question. Decline in interest income on loan despite the loan growth. Over the period, we've seen yields come down, both from a lending perspective and both from a fixed income perspective. So we had always said at the beginning of the year that we believe that we needed to expand the base of earning assets to be able to sustain the level of interest income we have. So we're not surprised that there was a decline in the yields. We had actually planned for an NIM guidance of 6.5% to 7%. We're at the lower end of the guidance, but we believe that with rates ticking up, that should improve. The second one is on credit-related fee income. Just like I said, if you look at absolute loan growth over the period, it was 7% from a gross loan perspective. So there was actually a growth in the loan book. In terms of the stage two, in terms of the negative figure you saw there, it wasn't an error on that line, and which were the sectors driving it, a lot of it was from the manufacturing sector. I think I've covered all the questions. I hope there's none I have not covered.
Thank you. Your next question is from Tolu Alanotu from Exotic Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, and thank you for hosting the conference call. I just have a few questions, and a couple of them I'll follow up on what was asked before. The first is on loan growth. You mentioned that one of the areas you've been extending new loans to is to the public sector. Can you maybe just give us some idea of the typical tenure of those loans and the structure? And the reason I'm asking about that is the elections that we have next year and risk related to that. The second question is about your margins. I understand, obviously, that your margins in the first half were at the bottom end of the guidance and so on, but I just was wondering whether you could comment on the outlook for the rest of the year and whether we could see further margin contraction or whether you think we can maintain the current levels. Third question is on margins as well. In the slide pack for the first quarter, it said that the margin, the net interest margin was, I think, 6.7%. But then in this latest slide pack, it says that the margin in Q1 was 7.4. Was there some sort of restatement of the revenue lines or something? It would be great to clarify that, please. Next question is on capital, please. I know you said that you don't need to raise capital at the moment, but as you mentioned, 40% of your local currency Tier 2 does not count at the moment. Would you consider maybe replacing that at some point, as in calling it and replacing it, just so it's more efficient? Thank you.
Okay, let me start with the loan growth. Thank you, Cholu. For public sector lending, for direct lending, all our loans typically cycle out 6 months before the expiration of the tenure of the regime of the government. So the second question is on the margins. The outlook for the year is, for the first half, we expected it to be lower. The outlook for the year now is that interest rates are going to go up. If you look at what's happening from the Treasury bills perspective and the money market instruments. Now, like I explained earlier, I said we don't have a lot of maturities from a liquid assets perspective going down in the fourth quarter. So we're not going to benefit significantly from a liquid assets perspective. However, from new deposit growth and new lending, we should benefit. So net-net, we don't see a significant contraction in margins by the end of the financial year. The third one is on the restatement of the NIM. So post H1, when the H1 numbers were concluded, there were some reclassification of some numbers based on the final implementation of the IFRS 9 numbers by the auditors. And then in terms of capital, the bond we have is 7 years, and then it's callable after 5 years. Right now, do we think we're going to replace it? No. I think we want to be a little bit careful with what we say. At the end of our Q1 conference call, it was all over the news that we're going to consider raising Tier 2 capital. Now, this is Q3. We've not done anything from a Tier 2 perspective. In terms of liquidity, I think with the strong deposit growth, what we've always said is that we have enough liquidity for lending. And in terms of the profits we will be capitalizing based on the earnings capacity of the business, we do not see any immediate need for that. But if we do, we will access the market. Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question is from Jerry Unbiu from Cardinal Stone. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my questions. Firstly, I think I'm still going to go back on the issue of the loan growth. I would like to know what strategies were largely in play that led to this significant growth in loan growth, especially in Q2. I mean, compared to what we've seen in industry so far. So what major strategies did you implement to achieve this loan growth? Secondly, I didn't see it translate positively for interest on loans and advances because I noticed it kind of declined them during the period. So I'd like to see if there's any explanation for that. That's talking about the loan growth. I'm also trying to find out also if we should be worried in terms of the impact on credit quality going forward in Q3 and Q4. So I'd like to know what you have to say about that. And fourthly, also, I know you've given guidance for your cost to income ratio of about 70%. It's around 67% at the moment. Broadly speaking, do you see any scope for a reduction in this going forward in terms of how you conduct your business operations? So is there a scope for reduction of this particular number, especially given where industry average is at the moment? Finally, what way did you use to value your FX position and your balance sheets? Thank you. Those are my questions for now.
Okay, so thank you. I'll start from the loan growth. I think from a strategy-specific perspective, we had made it clear at the beginning of the year that there were certain sectors we're going to focus on. Looking at those sectors, we saw improved opportunities for those sectors for two basic reasons. Number one, consumer disposable income was better. And number two, we said there was increased FX liquidity. So what you've seen play out is just adhering to the strategies we had set at the beginning of the year. Number two was that we said to be able to maintain the same level of income, we expected some compression in margin. And that's why even though last year we had a negative growth from a deposit perspective, this year we had given a guidance of 10 to 15%. Now, if you recall, as at the end of Q1, we're already on 11% deposit growth. And what we said we're going to concentrate on in Q2 was sweating that deposit and deploying it from a lending perspective. So it should not have been surprising because we already had built the liquidity earlier on in Q1. That there was increased lending in Q2. In terms of should you be worried, I think if you look back over the last 4 or 5 years and you look at our cost of risk, I think we've demonstrated enough capacity and capability in terms of managing our credit risk, even during the period where there was a very sharp devaluation of the currency by almost 50 to 100%. So we do not see a deterioration in the portfolio. We had guided this year that NPL numbers will be between 6 to 6.5%. We started the year at 6.4%. We are at the lower end of the guidance, but we still maintain the guidance that we have set. I think in looking at it vis-a-vis industry, where you look at the loan growth, you should also look at the deposit growth in terms of the quantum of deposits we've been able to mobilize over the period. So it's not only that we've outperformed in terms of credit growth, we've also outperformed in terms of deposit growth. And then in terms of the valuation of the balance sheet, we've not changed We've not changed the methodology we use. We still adopt the average of the IME and the CBN rate, which is 333.5.
Let's go for it.
Thank you very much. Once again, to ask a question, please press 0 on your phone's keypad or 7 to cancel your question request. Thank you. Your next question is from Muyiwa Oni from Standard Bank. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Congratulations on your result, and thank you for the conference call. I have a few questions. The first is a follow-up on the statement the CEO made on the single obligors. I wanted to find out if there's any measures made by management to reduce that exposure to below single obligor limit, and then also wanted to know what the maturity profile of the loan was. Then secondly, on asset quality, we want to find out at what point do you see NPL ratios declining to below the 5% CBN preference level?
So thank you, Muyiwa. I think we've always said that we expected NPLs to normalize to the below 5% levels by the end of the 2019 financial year. So not for this financial year, but by the end of the next financial year. In terms of the loan that is above a single obligor, the tenor is about 4 years. So that's the tenor of the loan.
In addition, this is a performing loan, and payments have been coming as at when due, and it's reducing gradually. We're looking at, even if we go at this rate, by 2020, we should be completely below single obligor limit, you know, or maybe in 2019, depends on, you know, but we're actually not worried about it, you know. Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question is from Emmanuel Adeleke from ARM Security. Please go ahead.
All right. This is a follow-up question to our excellent. So you mentioned that the increase we saw in that credit-related fees was majorly due to your increase in the loan book. I've heard that there have been periods where the loan book has increased, but we've never seen this kind of jump in credit-related fees. So I don't know if there's anything around this, and also we expect to see this kind of fee for the rest of the year. And also, I'd like to know all the previous and the current assets on your loan book, because I was just looking at the quarter-on-quarter decline on interest income from your loan book. So it's over 20% decline. Yeah, I know that the interest rate environment is down, but that looking at the absolute numbers, that is quite that's quite much. Thanks.
Okay, so I think maybe we need to look at the loan book from an absolute and average pricing perspective. So the fees generated from the loans are up, the yields on the assets are down. For us, from an average portfolio perspective, we always, like I said, expected that the yields would go down. So we had already projected that the yields would go down. But from a pricing perspective, in terms of the fee structure, we possibly have been able to optimize that. Are we likely to see that repeat itself for the next half of the financial year? No. Are we likely to see the yields on the loan book go up for the next part of the financial year? Yes. So net-net, this should lead to a scenario where we're able to maintain our earnings level. But like we said, overall, we don't expect to have the same quarterly run rate of 8 billion over the next two quarters. Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question is from Tolu Alanotu from Exotic Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon again. Just a quick follow-up question. You mentioned the exposure to 9 Mobile, which is 50% covered. Have you got an update on your negotiations with Telia, G and so on? Because there's been some local reports, as you know, about a shareholder dispute and so on. So if you could give any update on that, that would be great. Thank you.
Tolu, thank you. As you know, 9 Mobile is a syndicated loan. All the lenders are working hand in hand with NCC, the CBN, and the potential buyers. I will not be commenting on press speculations because, as you know, people just go on speculating. We're on course, but I will not comment on those press speculations. We'll stay focused on closing that deal. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Once again, to ask a question, please press 0 on your phone's keypad or 7 to cancel your question request. Your next question is from Dayo. Please go ahead. Your lines are muted, Dayo. Please ask your question. Thank you.
Hello, good afternoon. My name is Tony Abide. I work with FBN Quest. Apologies if my questions have been answered already. My first question is on your non-interest income. It was very, very strong. And just to put it in context, it was about 13.5 billion in Q2 compared with about 3.8 billion in Q1. I mean, I'm just finding it difficult to, on how to think about this going forward. Can you give us just some context on how to think about this going forward so that we can model it properly? That's the first one. Your OPEX too was quite high in Q2. It was about 17.5 billion compared with about 15.1 billion. Can we assume that the Q2 OPEX is the normalized run rate, or can you give us some kind of inkling as to what the normalized rate will be over the next 2 quarters? That's all for now.
Tunde Abidoye, can you kindly repeat your question, please? Thank you. Sorry, can you hold on while we get the speakers into the call? Thank you. Okay, Tunde Abidoye, can you please repeat your question? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So my question is on your non-interest income. It was quite strong in Q2. It was about 13.5 billion compared to about 4 billion in Q1. Can you give us an idea of how to think about this on a normalized basis going forward for the next 2 quarters? And similar to that, your OPEX too was slightly high in Q2, about 17.5 billion compared to about 15 billion. Also, I'd like to, just get some idea of a normalized OPEX run rate. Finally, your NPLs for the communication and agriculture sector moved up slightly between Q1 and Q2. Did you have any write-downs on the loans for this sector? For these sectors, if that's the case, how much were these write-downs? Thank you.
On the fee income and interest income, like we said earlier on, we expect there will be a moderation in the fee income in the coming quarters, and then we expect there will be a growth in interest income in the coming quarters for two reasons. Number one, interest income we expect to grow up because of what we're seeing in the interest rate environment. From a fee income perspective, we said we expected slower business growth over the last 2 quarters. In terms of expenses increasing by to 17 billion in quarter two, if you look at slide 19, which shows our expenses for last year divided by two, even though on a quarterly basis there was a growth in expenses, last year's expense divided by two, you get 32.8 billion. Expenses for this year as a H1 is 32.7 billion. So
Over the next two quarters, we do not expect a massive growth in expenses, and I think we can confidently say that by the end of the financial year, we don't expect expense growth to be more than 5-6% maximum. The last question was on the NPL book, on the agri and communication segment. So if you look at the communication segment, it was 1.5 billion and then it's 1.6 billion. So there was a small growth of about 700 million. For the agri business, there was an additional classification from one of the exposures we have. But if you look at the agri business as a whole over the period, and you look at our loan book in the agri segment, you actually see that it's come down from about 11.8 billion to about 9.7 billion. It was actually one of the sectors we had highlighted as an area of focus, but in terms of origination, it's been quite challenging over this period. Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, to ask a question, please press 0 on your phone's keypad. Thank you. Your next question is from Alvin Chu from Trend Capital Management. Please go ahead.
Hi. Yeah, congratulations on the good results. I just want to ask a little bit on your loan growth. Obviously, your loan book grew like 8% quarter on quarter, and that is pretty good. Can I have a little bit more color as to what sort of loan products and like which particular sort of companies in what sectors are you growing a loan book in? Thank you.
Thank you, Alvin. So I can give you the sectors, but unfortunately I can't give you the company name. So there's growth in the manufacturing sector, there's growth in the general commerce sector, and then you also see some growth in the public sector space. There was also growth from a quarter-on-quarter basis in the consumer lending space. So at the end of the year, we were on about 44 billion there, and then it declined significantly in quarter one to about 34.5 billion, and then by the end of Q2, it was approaching the 40 billion mark. So if you look at it on a quarter-on-quarter basis, those three, four sectors were the key drivers of the loan growth. Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question is from Emmanuel Adeleke from ARM Securities. Please go ahead.
Sorry, I think you missed out on one of my questions. So I mentioned that there's a new classification of interest income on the financial assets in your books. Please can you just shed light on this?
Okay, so if you look at the financial statements, if you look at both the interest income and then you look at the classification of the financial assets, on the 2017 column, what you see as the classification of the financial assets is held for trading, held to maturity, like that, based on the old accounting standards. And then for the new accounting standards, using IFRS 9, they adopted a different classification. But that classification they used, they put it on the 2018 column. So for that new classification, you won't see any numbers in 2017. And then for 2017, you see the old classification. Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, to ask a question, please press 0 on your phone's keypad. Thank you. There are currently no questions at this time. Thank you.
Okay, thank you all for participating in this call. Well, in closing, I just want to say we keep talking about our medium-term strategy, which we started executing some years ago. We're happy with the results we are seeing because they are like bang in line with what we promised. So all we can say is that we'll go back and continue to do what we're doing, and we look forward to continuing with this trend, and we're still staying with our full-year guidance based so far. So on that note, I thank you for participating and we look forward to speaking to you at our next call. Thank you.
That concludes today's call. Thank you.